I think we ought to start on time, if possible. I know sometimes there's hindrances, and I see people sitting and talking and associating together, and a lot of times this is the only time that we have to do it. Now, if we'd have a big steak dinner or something over here, you wouldn't get a talk. You'd be too busy eating. So this is all right. But it's good to be here. It's good to see the crowd tonight. We worship with those that are here. We pray for those that are not. We don't know who's sick. We don't know who's backslidden. We don't know who is discouraged. We pray for those people. So tonight, you be obedient. I think Brother Aaron's scheduled to speak tonight. Robbie, one of you. Okay, we'll cast lots in a little while. But if Lord willing, one of those two will speak tonight. And if not, the Lord will put it in your hands. So
Andrew will be singing.
Andrew is going to sing for us. So
tell me how about to be.
Bless you, Al.
I thought we had a wonderful service. Amen. I like it when the Lord just visits in a mighty way.
Right.
It just warms my heart. I look forward to that. I look forward to it. I appreciate the Lord and his blessings. It was a beautiful day, you know, and I came and I just enjoyed myself.
Amen.
I enjoyed myself. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, bless you.
Anyone else? If not, does anyone have a prayer request? Right. Amen. Right. Right. Amen. I refer to that as a promotion.
That's right.
When leave here, it'll be a promotion, Brother Al. Amen. Someone else with a request.
They need our prayers. And Phyllis Coons had her second treatment, and they really give it out. You keep them in your prayers. And
right.
There's others that need some touch from the Lord.
Right.
Just remember them. Amen.
I have a good friend that had a bad heart attack here just a few weeks ago, and she's going through some cardiac therapy, and they told her that she shouldn't be here, she shouldn't have lived, but we know God's on her side and he's helping her, but praise that she's healing, that the, you know, that she'd come out of it.
Amen. I talked to Mike this afternoon. He called me and told me he wouldn't be here tonight. His daughter-in-law and the children are at their house. And I think he's told you all about the situation there, his son and daughter-in-law. So let's remember them in prayer too.
Sure.
Any other requests?
Charlie, I talked to the guy
in drill today. I had an opportunity. His last name's Les. I believe his first name's Jim. I'm not too sure about the first name. Last name's Lesser. And he had to have a little bit of brain surgery done. And it's probably going to take end his career in the guard eventually as these things play out and progress. But he asked, he didn't ask me to pray for him at all. He asked me to remember his grandchildren in prayer. He said they had some minor issues, you know, going on with that. And that really, you know, he wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about his grandkids. And that struck me because obviously he needs prayer too.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Lesser family and his grandchildren.
Amen.
Remember my mother, and remember all those that are getting ready to go off to college. I'm getting ready to take one up for the first time, and then we've got one that's already back at college. So they need our prayers in the college world today. They need our prayers.
Right. Anyone else?
Yeah. Remember, Corey, Brittany, they're going to put Brittany in the hospital in the morning. Her due date's tomorrow. The doctor don't want to wait no longer than tomorrow. And they're both a nervous wreck. Everything looks good.
Yeah.
You know, they're worried about it. Sharon's getting along good. She's, I had to borrow a wheelchair to take home to day becomes tomorrow. I'm not, can't hold her back. She's going in there. But she's getting along good. She's doing what the doctor told her. I made the bed this morning. Nobody bragged on it, but I've done this again. Anyway, it's all working out good. I'm thankful for this.
Amen.
I may have made a little joke about it, but I'm very thankful.
Bless you, Dan.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Any unspoken requests? By a show of hands. Okay. All right. Let's each one lead out in our own prayer.
Thank you.
27.
Testimony. Must be waiting on you, Andrea. Be much in prayer for Andrea as she comes.
Glad to be here tonight, and anytime you have a testimony or a prayer or anything, don't feel like you're interrupting me. Just mind the Lord.
Still you give yourself. so, so good to me. When I feel no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Strong when I think I am.
every victory. And you say I am love when I can't feel a thing. And you say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong,
for God. This next song is called Magnify, and I really like this song because sometimes myself, I can get so focused in on things going on in my life that I just focus on that one thing and I can become worried over that one thing. Yet if you focus on God, that thing just kind of fades away, and it depends where your focus is at. And that's kind of what this song talks about. You know, take away all these worries of my life, God, and just help me to focus on you, because that's all that matters, and he's going to work all these things out anyway.
Trying to make sense of the sorrow that I feel, holding on for life to the only thing that's real. I've only scratched the surface. I've barely had a taste, but just a glimpse draws my heart to change. And one sight of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything, more of you. So take it all away. Magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. Take it all away. Magnify. Open up my eyes to you. My sight is incomplete, and I made you look small. I've been staring at my problems for way too long. I realign where my hope is set until you're all that's left. 'Cause just a glimpse draws my heart to change. In one side of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything, just more of you. So take it all away. Magnify no other name. Open up my mind, be louder. Let your glory come alive. Be magnified.
magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. Take it all away. Magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. To you. Anyone else? Got one more song.
A lot of us grew up believing at any moment we could lose it all. And at the drop of a hat, God might turn us back and move on. A lot of us feel like we blew it, thinking we're just too far gone. But I want you to know there's still a hope for you now. No matter what you've done, you can erase His love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated, no matter what. There's never been a better time to get honest. There's never been a better time to get clean. So come as you are, run to the cross and be free. Yes, be free. No matter what you've done, you can erase His love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated. No matter where you run, He's always holding on. You're still a daughter. You're still a son. No matter what. Don't know what you've been taught. Don't know what you've been told. All I know is my God will never let go of you. You're still a daughter, you're still a son. No matter
Is it clear the stage? Does that sound right?
Clear the stage and set the sound lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few that has revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. Seek the Lord and wait for what has in store. Know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can. You can sing all you want to. Yes, you can. You can sing all you want to. More than song. Take a break from all the plans you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg Him please to open up His mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. And shine a light on every corner of your life, until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. test the things you've heard until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to.
I like that song because it tells us exactly what we should be doing.
Sure.
Clear it all out.
That's right.
Get rid of it until you've got it down to just Jesus. When we get our life, John chapter 6, when we get our life down to just Jesus, that's when we got it right. That's when we got it right. All this other stuff doesn't matter. I guess I ought to go to John chapter 6 myself. All this other stuff doesn't matter, but we put it in the way. We get it out there. We get it in front of Him. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but it gets out there until it ain't just Jesus. It's just me and what I want, me and what I think, and what pleases me, and not just Jesus. When we can get to the point when we can get to the place in our life when it's just about Him and nothing else. That's when we got it right. That's when we're on the right track. When TV doesn't matter, when the radio doesn't matter, when the internet doesn't matter, when my friends don't matter, when my status doesn't matter, when my social standing doesn't matter, when my popularity, when enough people like me doesn't matter, just Jesus. One of these days we might just preach on just Jesus, because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Just Him. Just Him. I'm going to John chapter 6, verse 66. John 6, 66. I'm not going to read there yet. I'll be there in just a second. Be there in just a second. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, if you can. If you can't, that's fine. But in respect for God's holy written Word, in 2 Corinthians 13:1 said, Paul writes this. He says, by two or three witnesses, by two or three witnesses shall every word be established. By two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And that's what I'm going to do tonight, is establish a word. I want to establish a word with you. John 6 and 66 says this. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? You know, translated directly, it says, Would you like to go away? Because there's a difference sometimes in what I do and what I like to do. What I do and what I want to do. So Jesus was telling them right there, well, let me finish so you don't have to, I'm going to get started and not let you sit down. You might stand the whole time with me. Right? All right, John. All right. Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter said unto Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You. God, I thank You, Lord, that You were here this morning, Lord, dropping down upon them in a mighty way. God, I thank You that You were over there this morning, dropping down on us in a mighty way. God, You're so good to us. Lord, You're so good to us. I thank You for that, Jesus. Lord, that, Father, there's times in our life where You bring us into that moment where it's just You, just about You, Lord, getting all of the distractions away, helping us to clear our mind and heart and make it about You, God, and You pull us into that. Lord, and You, I know with You, it's all about us. Lord, I thank You for that. Jesus, as we step back, Lord, please step forward. As we speak, Lord, You speak up. Lord, give us the words that we need, Father. Meet the needs in the church tonight. Draw tonight, call tonight. If anyone, Father, should come, help them to come. Lord, we just say thank You for what You've done, what You're doing, and most of all, God, what You're going to do. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I like what it says there. Think about it. Would you like to go away? Not are you going to go away? Would you like to? The Bible says like this. God knows the very intents of your heart. God knows the very thoughts of your mind. He knows exactly what we want to do, exactly what we'd like to do, but He sees what we're going to do. See, it's like this. Is your heart really set on Jesus? Is your heart really set on God? Are we really thinking about Him? Is it Him that I want to please, or is it You that I want to please? And what do I mean by that? Is am I going to show You actions that I don't feel? Am I going to do things so You'll think I'm good? Am I going to write in my obituary that Rob was a member of Gold Town Church so that you will read that and think, well, Rob was a good guy. Rob was a good guy. Why? Because he's affiliated with the church or whatever church it might be. But Jesus said it like this. I know you're going to walk with Me because it looks good. It really looks good when you show up to church on Sunday mornings so that tomorrow when I'm at work, I can go, yeah, we went to church yesterday. Went to church yesterday. What about you? But did you want to be here? Did you want to show up? Was your heart here? Was my body here but my mind out there? Jesus said to him, he didn't ask him, are you going? He said, do you want to? I want to know what you want to do. Do you want to please me? Do you want to serve me? Do you want to obey me? Or is it just something you do because it looks good around the community? Is it something you do because you want people to think highly of you? Do you worry more about them than me? Do you care more about them than me? Do you want to please them more than me? Do you want to please you, yourself, more than me? Jesus said it like this. Drop it all, pick up your cross, and follow me. Leave your mother, leave your father, and follow me. Don't worry about this world, just follow me. Want to be with me. Want to love me. Want to walk with me. So he says, would you like to go? Would you like to leave too, like all those others? I know you're beside me, but are you with me? I know you're here, but are you here? Because I want you here, right here, more than right here. You know, God said, like he said, I stand at the door and I knock. And whoever hears my voice, and I've always thought about that, and this is not even part of it. But he says, I stand at the door and I knock, and who hears my voice, I don't think this is me saying anything, but he says, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever hears my voice and opens the door. You only open the door if you want to open the door. You only open the door if when you hear who's out there. You see, you can knock on my door, but if I hear you talking and I hear who you are and I don't want to see you, I ain't going to open the door. You can knock all you want, but if I don't want you in, you ain't getting in. So you might stand out there and knock, but when I see or hear you out there, I'm like, I don't want them here right now. I really, you know, I was listening to a preacher preaching. He was talking about back in the Bible times that you had, there was a law that you were obligated if a stranger came through to give them a meal if they wanted a meal. Had to, one meal. Had to give them a meal and a drink. One meal and one drink. But here's what the law said. You had to bring him in, you had to wash your feet, you had to prepare a meal and give it to him, you had to give him a cup to drink. If you liked him, you filled that cup to the brim and let it overflow. If you didn't like him, you filled it halfway up. Yeah, a little bit. So what you're saying is, if I want you in, drink as much as you want. If I don't want you here, you get two sips in the road and go. Just let me get the door for you and I'll hurry. But if they want you, if I want you, Jesus said, when I knock, if you hear me, call. Because he said, if you hear my voice, my word, that's what we're going to talk about. Jesus' word by two or three witnesses. We will establish every word. And I want to establish this to you tonight. That the word that Jesus speaks, the word that Jesus writes, the word that Jesus puts in your hearts is the right word. It's the word that you need. It's the word that I need. It's the word that the world needs. But it's the word that you need. Because it's individual to you and it's individual to me. You see, Jesus came for all, but he came for you. Jesus speaks to all, but he speaks to you. He said it like this. I came to seek and to save the world, but you work out your own salvation. So I came to seek the world, but I came just for you. I'm going to speak to the world, but I'm going to speak just to you. And when we get the realization and the knowledge and the belief in our heart that Jesus' word is right and Jesus' word is real and Jesus' word is for you and for me, we'll never live up to what we should live. Until we get it all cleared out till we get our mind stage and our life stage cleared out of all things, and we aren't worried about what's there and what's around, and we just worry about Jesus, and am I hearing from Jesus, and am I listening to Jesus, and do I want to hear Jesus, and do I want to follow Jesus? Until that time, we're going to not get it right. We're going to be, the Bible says that in the last days, there'll be many spirits talking, many people trying to get you to do different things. Many times the devil's going to speak and try to get you off the right mark and get you off the path. The Bible says that in the last days there will be diverse spirits. We got to figure out who Jesus is. How do you do that? You listen to him. You learn to hear him. He said it like this: I'm the good shepherd, and I speak to my sheep, and they hear my voice, and they know my voice. Can you figure out the voice of Jesus? Because when he speaks, he's not just, and I know people like this, I think they talk just to hear themselves. I know they do. They talk just to hear themselves. Because you can start a conversation with them with hello, and 20 minutes later, they ain't said nothing, but they've talked for 20 minutes, and you ain't got a word in edgewise, and they ain't said nothing that means anything, but for 20 minutes, they heard themselves talk. But when Jesus speaks, when Jesus gives you a word, when Jesus talks to the heart, when Jesus puts that scripture, when Jesus is the one, listen, when Jesus talks, it's the word that's established in your heart and the word that you need. By two or three, we're going to establish that God's word is right and Jesus' words are true. Jesus' words are power and Jesus' words are life and Jesus' words are eternal life. You see, I'm going to look at a couple different people that's going to tell us about that. A couple different places where we're going to see that whether it's by his voice or by his scripture or by his spirit, that when he speaks, we ought to listen. And when he speaks, we ought to move. When he speaks, we ought to obey. Because if we're hearing God, it's him. If we're feeling God, it's him. And if you're reading this, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture, not some. I know people that don't believe some. I had a professor one time. He was a pastor of a church. And he told us in class, it was a world religion class that I had to take. And I was in there, and I thought it's a good person to take it from, a pastor, till he says this. You know those miracle stuff they talk about? That part's not really real. You take out that part, and you take out the deity of Christ. You take the deity of Christ away, throw it all away, because none of it matters anyway. You can't pick and choose, because Jesus said, God said, the Bible says, all scripture, from for the first in the beginning to the last, amen, is given by inspiration of God. And it's for you and for me, not some. Can't take that halfway mark, you know, where we call it old and new. Oh, we're in the New Testament church. We don't need that old stuff. Does that mean we don't need all things that are old? Then I should be gone, because I was called old this weekend. We were told by one of our young people, that she was so nice about it. She said, we should have young people running this thing. I said, what are you saying, I'm old? Without hesitation, she said, yes. Love her to death. And I don't love her to death. I don't say, I love her to life. I don't want her to die. Love her to life. Love her to life. But see, It's like this. Old Testament looks at the New Testament. New Testament looks at the Old Testament. And it all looks to Jesus. It all looks to Jesus. So you find Jesus anywhere you look, if you look. Huh. Timothy also tells us that we should study his word. Study his word to show myself approved unto God. Right? Who's the author? The one who wrote it. So he says it's all given by God, so we should study. And that's what God told us. And God said, in his word, which is his word, he said, I wrote this, I wrote it all, and you should study. You study it all to show yourself approved unto me, the author of it all. So his word says to you and to me, study, study, and study my word. By two or three, we should establish. By two or three, we should establish. This is what it says. In Luke chapter 2, verse about 45, 46, if I could read my writing, I know, I think it's 46. This is where Jesus' mom and dad, anybody ever left a kid somewhere? Anybody, really? Am I the only bad parent in here? I left my kid at church one night. Now, if you're going to leave somebody, a kid somewhere, where's the best place to leave them? At grandma's house, of course. I left a kid here one night, got a mile up the interstate, realized I left a kid here, crossed the median illegally, came back, and there she stood with Terry Haddix. We knew you was coming back. Didn't know how long you was going to realize it. But, you know, so I'm the only bad parent in here. All right, that's all right. Pray for me. Pray for me. So Jesus is I'm in good company. I'm in good company with the mommy of Jesus. All right? That's pretty good company in my opinion. So the Bible says they went down to Jerusalem to worship, and they turned around and got done, so they left. And they didn't get 10 minutes down. They didn't get 2 minutes down the road. They were gone quite a while before they realized it, right? So they get back, and they realize, all right, we got to go find Jesus. We got to go find him. Got to go look for him. He's 12 years old. We got to get back to him. The Bible says they found him. He was in the temple talking with the doctors of King James. And if you look, it means teachers, the ones who taught the law, the ones who taught the scriptures, the ones who knew the scripture. But the Bible says that as he sat there with them, this is how it says it, that he answered them and he heard them. So he was listening to what they had to say. And for some reason, God told me that I needed to remember that I should listen when other people talk. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times when you're talking, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say next. That's just me. And someone said, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen more than you talk, right? And that don't always happen. The Bible says he was listening to what they had to say, and he was asking questions, and he was giving answers. He was there talking to him, giving him the words that he knew, giving him the words from him, giving him the words of life. And here's what Luke said. Now remember, first off, we got it by Luke. This is Luke talking, Luke writing. So there's one person we're going to establish by two or three. So Jesus is there giving them what he knows. And he knows it all because he wrote it all. He created it all. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of time. He was before that, but in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the same was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things that were created by him. So Jesus was there in the beginning when he said, Jesus said, his words, let there be, and there was. And he looked at it and said, man, that was good. Yeah. He liked what he did. Yeah. It is all right to like what you do. Sure. You know that? Jesus spent 6 days going, man, I did good. Yeah. Not pridefully. Just noticing good workmanship. When you build something, do you look at that and go, you walk up and down these steps, people. These are some good steps right here. I mean, you did good. And I was noticing that today, and that's good stuff right there. God said, let there be his word, and there was. And he goes, man, that was good. And then when he made you and me, he said, that was good. And he looked back at us and go, now what happened? Because I didn't make you that way. I didn't make you that way. The old devil got in there and changed things. But God said, that was good. So he says he's there preaching, he's there teaching, he's there talking. He's there giving those people in the temple, giving the doctors, the teachers, the ones that know. And as they speak, Luke says it like this, that someone, that they said, let me put it to you this way. I'm going to get to it in a minute. I'm going to get there in a minute. This is what I thought of. He was giving them his opinion. Yeah. Have you thought about that? What is God's opinion? That is God's opinion. What's your opinion, God? Right there. Read it. I wrote it for you. If you'd get in there and look at it, you'd know what my opinion is. He was giving them his opinion. Now, they were giving them their opinion, but he was giving them his opinion. And what do you think his opinion is? His opinion is right. Don't we all think our opinion's right? Who thinks your opinion's not right? Well, no. You know, there's a saying, right? Everybody has an opinion. You guys have never said the rest of that. You know, like the verse that says, resist the devil and he must flee. You know, that's only half of it. Who can tell me the first part? What's the first part of that verse? Anybody? Exactly. Because we don't worry about that part. We don't quote it because it's not the easy part. It says, submit yourselves unto God. Right? Then when you resist the devil, he must flee. Well, everybody has an opinion, but here's the second half. Unless they agree with Rob's, theirs is wrong. I've always said that. That's my opinion. And if yours isn't like mine, yours is wrong. But that's okay. You can be wrong before. You can be wrong again. I can get you fixed. Just get my opinion on it. He was giving them his opinion. So his opinion is a few things. His opinion is right. Always his opinion is right. His opinion is the truth. It's the truth. So it's his opinion, it's right, and it's the truth. What he did is he sat there and he gave him what he thought and what his idea was and what his thoughts on the matter was. He was giving them the truth because when Jesus speaks, it's always the truth. And the Bible says they were astonished because he taught as one having power and all authority like never before. He was giving them talking as one having that authority because he is the authority. So all those around, the teachers and the people listening, and then Luke says it like this. He taught as one having authority. Why? Because he is the authority. When Jesus speaks, when Jesus talks, he is right. He is true. His opinion matters. His opinion counts. And he's the only one. Now James says this about words. So when we're talking about words, the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. James says, Jordan read it this morning in our service. The tongue is very powerful. And the words you speak are very powerful. Sometimes good, sometimes bad for our part. But Jesus never speaks an evil word. Jesus never speaks a bad word. So the power of his tongue and the power of his words is always for good. And always will do good. And always will bring about good. And always will be good for you. And always will be good for me. So I need to listen to what he says. Because his tongue is more powerful than my tongue. But his words are always true. His opinions are always true. His words always have authority. And they're always right. So Luke, the teachers, and those in the temple that day all say that Jesus' words have authority. By two or three. About two or three. Now we go to another one. Let's go to John. I like this one. John chapter 7 and verse 46. See, the chief priests and the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus because they didn't like him. Why? Because he spoke the truth. And when you don't want to hear the truth hurts. You ever heard that saying? The truth hurts. And when the truth goes against everything you ever teach, everything you ever tell people, when the truth takes away things that you want to keep, you don't like it. And that's what was happening. Jesus was out there talking and teaching and preaching and telling them the truth. And it was leading them away from the chief priests and the Pharisees because they weren't telling the truth. You see, they were giving themselves power and authority by themselves. God hadn't given it to them. Jesus said that. Jesus was talking. And so they went. And they went to the officers, the military, the army, and they said, we want you to go get that Jesus and bring him to us. We want you to go get him and bring him to us. So the Bible says they went after him. The officers went to find him with the sole purpose of getting him and taking him back to the chief priests and the Pharisees. That was their marching orders. And they went to do it because it's what they do. Wonder what would happen if the army of God took our marching orders and just went and did them.
Yes.
Wonder what would be different about the world, about our church, about our life, if we took the marching orders of Jesus, the marching orders of our commander in chief, and just went and did them.
Amen.
He says this, go into the world and tell them about me. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but do you do that? Do I do that? Do I go into the world and do I tell people? Do I tell people? When's the last time I have told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time I have opened my mouth and let my words be about Him to somebody? When's the last time I took my marching orders that Jesus spoke and said, go, and I went, and I walked through the door that He opened, and I said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about a man who loves you. Let me tell you about a man who wants to save you. Let me tell you about a man who can take you out of hell and put you into heaven. When's the last time I've done that? When's the last time I ever did that? Can I even remember that? I hope you can. I hope you can. So they took their marching orders and they went to find Him. And they found Him. They found Him. And He was talking. I mean, everywhere He went, He was talking. And He was not saying bad things. He wasn't murmuring. He wasn't backbiting. I was talking with one of the kids leaving the service this morning. And we were talking about the tongue because of the scripture was read. And I said, you know, that happens in the adults of the church too. The evil tongue, the bad tongue. I said, that ain't just teenagers. He said, I know. He said, I know. And he said, that's what he said. I know. You adults, you say stuff like, well, they don't have as much money as I do. They don't have as nice a car as I do. So that's what the young people think you talk bad about people like. They don't have as much money. They don't have as nice car. I said, it ain't about that. I said, it's about spreading rumors and backbiting and telling lies about them. Not that the church is a bunch of liars, but we get to where we don't like somebody and we just start murmuring. I said, it's the same. It's the same. But Jesus was there telling them good stuff, stuff of life. So he was in the temple and he was talking to him. He was in a synagogue this time and he was talking to him. And all those that were around, all those that were listening, this is what they said. They said, they agreed with what Jesus said. And they loved Jesus. And they had his back. So the officers went back to the chief priests, went back to the Pharisees. And this is what they said. They said, did you get him? And they said, never has a man spoke like this man. Never has a man spoke like him. Never have these words been said. And this is what I thought. He was talking to the church leadership, the church leaders, and they said, we've heard you talk. We've heard you teach. And we've heard you preach. And you ain't never sounded like this guy. You ain't never had that power. And you ain't never had that authority. We listen to you weekly, but never has a man spoke like this. And the crowd loved him. And if we tried to get him, we would be dead right now. Because never has a man spoke like that. Never has a person ever come in such power and authority. And what he said is true and right. And what he said is powerful. And what he said hits home and touches the heart. And we listen to a lot of people talk. We ain't never heard a man talk like this man. John and the people in the synagogue said, ain't nobody ever spoke like Jesus. So when you hear him talk, believe him. By two or three, can we establish Jesus' word? Then we go back to Luke. We go back to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read something to you. Luke chapter 4. Verse 32 says this. Luke 4 and 32. I'm going to go to 31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. All right, he's back in the temple teaching on the Sabbath days. 32 says, they were astonished at his doctrine. Check this next part. For his word was with power. For his word was with power. Now drop down to 36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves saying this. Listen to what they said. What a word is this? What a word is this? This isn't a word like we've heard before. This isn't a word spoken in any manner that I've heard before. This isn't somebody who's wishy-washy. This isn't somebody who's telling me what I want to hear. This isn't somebody who's trying to tickle my ears. This isn't somebody who's wanting to get my approval or me to say, good job. He's not doing it for that. He's doing it with power and he's doing it with authority. And listen, he told the devil, there was a guy there with an unclean spirit, and he said, get out of him. And they got out of him. And they said, he does this with the power over even unclean. They said, what a word. Yeah. What a word. What kind of word? The word that you need at the moment that you need it. About what you need it to be about. In your life, when you're going through things. In your life, when things are going wrong. In your life, when people are turning on you. In your life, when you feel like you're alone. In your life, when it's out of control. Jesus says, I can give you a word. A single word I can speak to you, and it will calm it all. It will solve the problem. It will fix the situation. And if it doesn't fix it the way I think it should, he says it like this: my word will calm you in the storm. I can calm a storm, or I can calm you. My word. He's out on the boat. You know the story. He's out on the boat, and they wake him up, and they say, "All right, it's a storm. We're dying. We're dying." No, you're not dying. Because Jesus told you, we are going to the other side. But they said, we're dying. Don't you care about us? We're dying. Jesus gets up and says, all right, peace, be still. And the wind and the waves ceased. And they said, what manner of man is this? That even nature hears him and obeys. Even what? Yeah, the wind stops when he says stop. The waves stop when he says stop. The ocean only comes right here because he says, I can only go right there. Now listen, sometimes God says, go on, and we call them tsunamis, right? Nature listens to him. The wind says, all right. God says, all right, you can be a hurricane, but you got to go through here. And it goes right through there. Well, how do I know God's telling him? Because the next one goes over that way. God tells it. Nature listens to God and obeys God because he know that what a word is this. The word is this. When I hear it and I listen to it and I do it, I'm going to be victorious. When I hear it and I listen to it and I do it, I'm going to be the one on top. When I hear it and I listen to it and I do it, I'm going to be the victor. I'm going to be the one who is okay at the end. I'm going to be okay at the end. At the end, because sometimes the battle, sometimes the struggle, sometimes the fight, I don't feel okay. Sometimes in the middle of it, I feel like I'm losing and the devil's winning and I just can't do it. And Jesus says, then don't. Then don't do it. Stop trying on your own and let me do it. And when I hear that word and listen to that word and do that word, and I just stop and go, okay, it's yours. In that end, I'm okay. You see, the children of Israel walked through the water, walked through on dry land, not through the water, through dry land. They weren't okay when the army was coming. They were scared, afraid they were going to die. They were in the middle of it, and they were in the heat of it, and they just knew that their life was done. But God said, no, here, just walk here. And then you know what happened? He drowned all the soldiers. He drowned the whole army. So on the other side of the trial, they were okay. When you get to the other side, you're going to find that you're okay every time. When you walk with God, you're okay. When you walk with God and he says, gives you that word, and you can say, what a word is this? The word of life, the word of life, the word that I needed, the word of fulfillment, the word of confidence, the word of strength, the word of supply, the word of love, the word that I needed just when I needed, exactly what I needed. Never late and never early. Now, I don't like being late. I don't like being late. Before I got married, and I ain't blaming nobody, but before I got married, I was at least 5 minutes early for everything I ever was at. And that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But God... I didn't say anything. I mean, it's out there. I didn't say anything, right? Now, you guys assume what you want to assume. That's up. You know, let your mind wander to what the next sentence could have been, but it didn't. The next sentence wasn't that. The next sentence was, that's all I'm saying. But think about it. God ain't never been late. Never. And I'm going to blow your mind. He ain't never been early either. Right on time. Right when you need him. Just when you think that the bottom's going to fall out, he says, shoop, puts that hand down and catches you. Just when you think the walls are going to fall, he goes, shoop, puts his hands out and stops it. Just when you think all is done, God says, shoop, and surrounds you and protects you right on time. Never late, but never early. Right on time. I just don't like his timing sometimes. We don't agree. I know you're like, oh, the preacher don't like his timing. No, he don't. I want early. I like early. Fix me early. Fix the situation quick. When I microwave it, 30 seconds. That's what I like. Drive-through window. You know, someone like me created a drive-through window. I ain't got time. I ain't got time. I'm going to give you something honest. This is so, I shouldn't even tell you this because it's so ignorant. That's not nothing bad. The most I put gas in my car is about $15. You know why? I can't stand standing there. I don't have time to stand there to put it all in. I just got to get in, get done, and get moving. Right? That's me. I don't have those patience. I don't have patience. That's me. That's why somebody invented a drive-through window and add 30 seconds because of people like me. And that's why God says, boy, you got a hard road to go because I ain't adding 30 seconds to get it. I ain't doing it like a drive-through window. I'm going to wait until you need it just when you need it and right in time and right on time just when the time you need it. That's when I'm going to be there. He says, you'll work on your patience. And I'm like, yeah, we'll work on that. But when he does step in that moment, y'all ought to pray for Lori. She has to live with this every day. I mean, pray for Lori. You didn't know her life was so hard. I don't got time. More than time. I don't got more than 33 minutes to put in gas. I gotta go. Gotta go. So God says it like this. Right on time, there I'm gonna be. And he always is. And he gives you that word and you go, what a word that was. Just what I needed. So the people at the temple, the people in the synagogue, and Luke tells us that God always gives, Jesus always gives the right word, just exactly what you need, just exactly what you want, just exactly what solved the problem. Matthew chapter 7, real quick. Matthew 7, because I want you to realize that after we're done here tonight, the next time God speaks, that you go, what a word is that? That's the right word, the true word. That is the correct word. That's the opinion that I'm taking because that's the opinion that's right. Matthew 7 and 28 says this. It came to pass that Jesus had ended his sayings. The people were astonished at his doctrine. Astonished at his doctrine. Now, I think that might have been some going, wow, that's good stuff. And some going, wow, that's what he thinks. Well, no, I thought it should have been like this. You got people out there in today's time and that would say, you know, you get saved and everything's going to just be a bed of roses and it's all going to be good. It's all going to be smooth and everything's going to work out. And if it don't, you did something wrong. You don't, it was because of your faith. If you don't, you weren't a sinner of God's will. And I think there was people that might have thought like that. And God said, it ain't always going to work out. Jesus said, you're going to be tempted and tried and persecuted for my sake, for my name's sake. And they were like, what kind of doctrine is that? That's what, really? But go on to read that, finish that verse. It says, they were astonished, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, not as the religious folks, not as the ones tickling ears. You see, Jesus told you, Jesus tells us, not told, tells us exactly what's right. No matter what you and I think. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes he says, that's not the way to do it. This is. And I'm like, but that's not the easy way. That's the hard way. But he says, that's the way we need to do it. Right. Sometimes he says, don't go through the drive-thru. Go in. You know, I go through the drive-thru and I gripe because they're too slow. All right? Then I go inside and then I watch the drive-thru and they're going faster than inside. So I never win. Sometimes God just says, we're going to work on you, Rob. We're going to work on you. You know, it's like traffic. Three lanes of traffic, only the other two are always moving and I'm not. So I get in that lane and they stop and those two move. And I get over there and then they stop and those two move. God works on me all the time. I don't know about y'all. God works on me all the time. You know that song, He's Still Working on Me? I thank God sometimes because, man, we're not getting very far. We're not getting very far with this one. I'm like, just keep working with me. And he says, all right, I will. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, because I sure ain't what I ought to be. But God's still working on me. When I go to heaven, I'm going to get it then. I'm going to be, at that point, I'm going to be just what God wants me to be. Down here, I struggle. down here I struggle, but God still works with me. God still works with me. But he tells you exactly what's right, exactly what's needed, exactly what to do, exactly his opinion. And we need to take his opinion as my opinion. Even when his opinion differs from my opinion, I need to take his opinion as my opinion because his opinion is right. I was reading a story. I think it was Jairus, maybe. Jairus' daughter was dead. This is about how sometimes his opinions differ. The Bible says that she had died. Jairus' daughter's died, and Jesus was going down to keep her alive. But while they were going down, they come and said, "All right, she's dead. Don't bother the master." And Jesus said, "Well, let's go anyway. Let's go anyway." There was a bunch of people at the house, and the Bible says they were tore up. They were weary. They were mourning, and they were weeping, and they were crying because she had died. And Jesus comes in the house, and they said, "She's dead." And he says, "No, nope, she's just asleep." That's what the Bible says. They laughed him to scorn and said, "No, she's dead." And Jesus says, "In my opinion, that's your opinion. That ain't mine. That's your opinion." So Jesus kicks them out. Says, "All right, you raise your hand if you don't believe she's just asleep." So they all raise their hand. "Raise your hand if you think she's dead." And they all raise their hand. And he said, "Now everybody raise your hand. Go. Go. You don't get to see what's about to happen. You could have seen it, but you don't get to." So the Bible says they kicked them all out. And he went to the girl, took her by the hand, said, "Damsel, arise." And she stood up. She got up. Why? Because Jesus' opinion was she ain't dead. She's alive. Because the resurrection is on the scene. Life is here. And my words to tell her to get up is what happens. My word overcomes. My word beats. My word trumps death. My word trumps the grave. My word trumps anything. My word trumps your opinion, even though you think you're right. They knew what a dead person looked like, felt like, seemed like. They knew a dead person, but they didn't realize that Jesus, that death knows Jesus and knows that when he's there, they got to back off. Why? Because his words, bless you, are more powerful than anything else. His words are more powerful than anything else. When Jesus speaks, when Jesus talks, when Jesus says that that's what it is. Listen, I'm just about done. I'm just about in worship. Come on. Talking about his words, Jesus' words. These are Jesus' words. God wrote in John, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory, even your faith. So it's all about overcoming this world, making it through this world. It's all about staying victorious in this world through Jesus. It's all about sticking with him to the end, and at the end, he'll stick with you through the end. Cross over Jordan, get into heaven. You know, when we close them down here, he says, "You're going to open them in my eyes, in my face. You're going to open them in my presence." Now, some that's good, some that's bad, but everybody gets to open their eyes from here to there into the presence of God. He says, "What I'm going to do is help you be victorious, help you to overcome this world through your faith." And this is the words of Jesus, because if you got a red letter Bible, I think it's in red in Revelation. He said, "To him that overcomes," I don't think it's in red, I know it's in red, I don't know why I said think. It's in red. This is what he says, "To you and to me, to him, to the Christian, to the boy, the girl, the man, the woman, to the one that overcomes, I will give of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So to those that overcome this world, will I give the life to live forever with me." That's what it's about. That's the words of Jesus, that I have already overcome this world, and in me, you will overcome this world. Stick with me. Stick with me. Those are the words of Jesus. And by two or three, by Matthew, by Luke, by John, by the people in the temple, and the people in the synagogue, and the people on the hillside, we've learned that Jesus' words are right and true, have power and authority, and they're good for you. Amen. Tonight, do you need a word from him? Do you want a word from him? Do you want to hear from him? Yes. Do you need to talk to him? Do you want to talk to him? Yeah. If you do, as we stand, and as Andrea sings, Jesus is here, ready to give you the word that you need from him. Go ahead and sing.
hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you.
Perfect song for the message. Perfect song for Jesus. Perfect song for me. Bring it all to the table. Ain't nothing he ain't seen before, and he's loved right through it all. Loved right through it all. Anybody got anything? Now, I have an announcement. We'll put this out on one call. Next Sunday night, the reason the schedule has changed is because we've getting some people coming here, but we had to make changes to make it happen. Next Sunday night, Jason McClanahan from Charleston Randolph Street Baptist Church, pastor, is going to come speak for us. Now, that's not how you know him, and I know him as much as you know him as the one who heads up Hope for Appalachia, the drug rehabilitation.
Right.
We support that every month from this church, and it's got an awesome work. You can read about it in the newspapers. Lots of stuff going on. I get updates from him. He's going to be here next Sunday night to give us an update on the missionary work that they do, the rehabilitation that they do. They've got some new stuff they're doing. He's going to give us an update, and he's going to bring us the word. He's going to bring us the message, and I believe his children are going to be singing and playing for us. So next Sunday night, he's going to be here to do that. So if you know somebody who's affected by drugs, or know somebody who knows somebody who's affected by drugs, that would be a good night for them to be here. It'd be a good night to be here. So that's going to be next Sunday night. Anybody else? Wednesday night, center shot, and church here. If you don't come here on Wednesday night to the service, let me tell you, you miss out. Every now and then, I love being in the back with the kids teaching and talking with them. I love that. Every now and then, I get to come over here, and you miss a good time in God when you don't come to be in church Wednesday nights, because God's here, and we have a good time. So, yeah, if you can, come out. That'd be 7.